a badass.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
You my dog.
The drive is live.
Clint Sterner. Look at Sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
All right, welcome back. Dirty's Daily, and it's the first Dirty's Daily on a Football Friday live here from Oak and Iron. Clap it up, people. Here we go, baby. Clap it up as we're having a good time out here. Again, if you are in the building or you're on the way, we've already had a couple of winners. We're going to start hooking people up. We got $50 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's coming up this hour. In the final hour, you got a chance to win a Nico Collins autograph game-size football and two tickets. Now, some of y'all say y'all don't need them. Okay. But two tickets to Colts-Texans coming up later on this season. All you got to do if you're in the building is put your name in our raffle box, and you've got a chance to win those. By the way, Football Friday presented by Low T Center, supported by our good friends at Tom Ball Ford and Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as Champion NAS HVAC. They are on site with us in plumbing. They're on site with us. And let me tell you something, man. They got something special here. My man Mark, he's the dude with the Crispy J's over here. Come talk to my man Mark. He's got a setup over here. We've already had some people who've been able to talk to him. You can sign up right now, and you got a chance to win a free one-year membership, two HVC visits a year, 15% off all AC and heating repairs, priority booking, and waived after hour fees. So you've got a chance to win a great setup here with our good friends here at Champion and Nash HVAC. And plumbing. All you got to do is come to the table right here. So as soon as you get over here and fill your name and put it in the raffle, slide right over to my man Mark over here, and you got a chance to win a free one-year membership with our good friends at Champion and Nash HVAC and plumbing. So come on out, have a good time here. Paul Gallant in with us again. Many people. I don't know why people feel like. When we miss work, that we're just untrustworthy. Now somebody then came on, and then now Tyler, and I will tell everybody who was listening on the text line, YouTube, and Twitch. Rob, you got to get some of it. Now Tyler's going to go to the basement with you. Tyler has not reached the point in his journey as a broadcaster and on radio in dealings with the text line, YouTube, and Twitch that he walks away from conversations.
Not sure Tyler will
get in. Tyler will get into the basement with you. So someone
fares overrated, man.
So someone,
I was wondering what you meant by that saying, and now I'm looking at the text line, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Someone came and said, are you sure Clint is sick, or is he Tyler sick? All right, and so Tyler is going into the basement with old Rob.
Statement there, Rob.
With old Rob. But no, he is under the weather. Hell, you guys, listen, you heard him last couple of days. All right, it was a fight to the finish, baby. He was playing hurt, and we finally set him down. So he is out today, but he will be back. He'll be back Sunday night, I believe. He'll be back during the postgame show with Sean right here on 95.7 The Fan. But Paul Gallant is in the building. I see some people calling him Paulie Kittens. I can't do that. I can't call that grown man Kittens. I really can't. So it's Paul Gallant to me. I go Paulie. I can do all these things. Kittens, I don't know. Now, one would argue I did say sexy Paulie as soon as he sat down. So, I mean, there's some grace there.
Rock and roll, meow.
Or whatever. But we're having a good time. All right, Dirty's Day, let us start here. And I want to get your thoughts first, Paul, and then the text line 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in on the conversation. C.J. Stroud, for whatever area you feel about him, if you are in the camp of some people, get him out of here. I want Davis Mills. I want Bubby Brister. I don't know why Bubby Brister was the name I went to, but I want any kind of backup quarterback. Go somewhere else. We can win without him. Don't give him $60 million. I wouldn't give him $30 million. If you're that, to that space, Tony, if you are if you are or you're a little higher, and when I say Tony, I mean Tony over there at Viking Flooring, that Tony, not Tony who sings Happy Birthday. Or if you're where I am, where I have a lot of belief and faith in C.J. Stroud, and I find it impressive what he's been able to do over his last 3 years when they've said, here, man, take this chicken S and make something out of it. And he keeps doing it every year, although he did doo-doo on himself in the middle of the field.
Yeah, he peed his pants. Yeah.
No, he did more than that. He peed his pants against Pittsburgh, but then he doo-dooed all over himself against the Patriots. Maybe he did them both. All right, but is there a performance on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills who are behind the Rams on DraftKings as Super Bowl favorites, second in the league, Josh Allen, former MVP, arguably the best quarterback in the game right now. Is there anything, any type of performance that he could put together on Sunday that can bring whatever level of confidence that you have dropped back? Is there anything that he could do?
I don't know about all the way back.
But there's something there that can pull you in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll ask you this. When's the last time that he played like a top quarterback against a good team? Because it's been a while. Last year.
Depending on how you look at it, right? I thought the game he played against Kansas City with what he was dealing with the pressure that he was given, the plays that he made against that team on the road, I thought he played really well against Kansas City. San Francisco, he really statistically probably his best game of the season.
Here's why I look at those games and I'm like, yeah, but okay. I didn't love the performance against the Chiefs. He did what he was supposed to do in that game, but I hated that he underthrew Nico Collins on that first play early on. That drove me crazy. It should have been a touchdown. Whatever. That's besides the point. The 49ers team was dead when they played him. There were so many injuries. When they smoked the Ravens, that was not the Baltimore Ravens that you expected to see. Like, his best performance last year, I thought, was maybe that game against the Cardinals. And, I mean, we all think the Cardinals might be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Go back to 2024 as well. It's been a while since we've seen C.J. play well against a big-time team to the level where you're like, yeah, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. So, if you see it, I don't think it's going to need stats necessarily. If you see a performance where you're like, damn, he was efficient. He got the ball out on time. He made a couple of plays happen by extending and moving his legs, and he didn't turn the football over, more importantly than anything. Yeah, it's a game against the Bills. He didn't play against the Bills last year. Who knows how that game goes? Maybe it's not as close. I would think so.
Were the Colts good his first game back?
No, not really. I thought they were frauds. But of all the games, that was a good game that he played.
Because I just say that of like what are options? Like to me, the Kansas City game, the reason why I look at that one, there was
so
much pressure
for sure
that was coming,
and on the Chiefs too.
Pressure, but I mean physical pressure from.
Oh,
the,
gotcha. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was like a quarter and a half. Chris Jones was just completely unblockable by everybody,
yeah,
and Spags was just sending blitz after blitz. He converted a couple of big third downs and longs. I just like stats wise, it doesn't look like a great game, but to go into that place where you're having. I get it. You're looking for the Bengal game he had.
Yeah,
the game
exactly.
Against the Bills.
Outside of the pick 63 against the Bengals, yes.
The game he had against the Bills, the game. The 49er game, I understand what you're saying on that. I'll just say the 49ers, though, mostly played like that team that won 12 games.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
They were mostly that team. They didn't get a lot of those guys back. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm not trying to change your opinion of what you're talking about,
teams.
Where you're looking at. But, yeah, Buffalo would be one of those teams.
This is one of those teams where if he plays well against them, it's going to be a shot in the arm of confidence for you in the same way that a couple of other teams, but a very few other teams, could perhaps give it. So it's nice that it's happening in week one. But, you know, the other side of that is if he struggles – I think a lot of Texans fans have had fun the last couple of days making fun of Drake May, and understandably so, because somebody else peed their pants. And you're thinking to yourself, he peed his pants too.
Seattle's got the ball.
But you peed your pants first, and you can't unpee your pants because Drake May peed his pants. So I think on the other side of this, if he struggles in this game,
I mean, God, we're back to this thing we've been doing for 7 months. You, 7 months daily, you know?
Yeah, and the space that he is in right now, and I think I'm just listening as we're talking about this, the space he's in right now, it is almost like nuance is going to go out of the window with him.
It's almost already, hasn't
like,
it?
Like if he it does not if he does not play poorly, it won't matter if, you know, like he's been just getting hit repeatedly or he's got sacked a bunch of times or whatever is around him. Like it won't. It is really black and white right now with him. Did you throw for 300 yards? Did you throw for 250 yards? Did you turn the ball over? Did you throw touchdowns? Regardless of what's going on around him. But I think he definitely needs to play. He needs to play. Like when I say he needs to play football. That has needed to happen, a real game. So at least to give people a different conversation, because everybody sees C.J. Stroud now and they just see the first half of the Patriot game. That's every, like, nothing else that he did does not matter. I mean, even people who had the highest level of thought about him still just see the Patriot game.
And that's what's interesting, too, because it does feel like people that are on the outside looking in have turned the page on that. I mean, I would say it's even more than a hipster movement. The amount of people that have picked the Texans to win the Super Bowl, of which there are several, the amount of people who have picked the Texans to win the AFC, the amount of people who have said the Texans are the best team in the AFC and could win the AFC on top of that, there's a lot of people that could easily change their mind with one bad performance since we all overreact in week one, you know? So I'm really intrigued as to how that's going to go. Sorry, microphone was not in my mouth. There we go. Thank you. Not a professional. Not a professional. I haven't even had any alcohol yet, so, you know.
No, it's like someone just texted in, kind of hard to be elite when your team is rotating left guards and Kenyon Green being healthy. Again, as I said, I think that stuff is out of the window now with him. Like, fair or not fair, I think it is. That is gone. I don't think that he gets that benefit of the doubt because of how poorly he played and the decisions he made in that playoff run. So, like, somebody's already said, trade CJ for 3 first-round picks and go get Arch. Okay. Like, yeah, these are the levels.
I don't want a Manning.
These are the levels of where people are right now. So, like, with that person,
NFL MVP, man.
There it is. Tyler's been calling it. but right there, Tyler, those are the people where, like, I think CJ could go for 350 and 3 touchdowns. And there's still no changing them until maybe he does something in the playoffs.
I think it will change people's minds. That's how long it's been.
If he outplays Josh Allen like he did the last time these two faced in this game, you think the narrative around CJ changes?
It'll start to at the very least, and you will have people showing up to the next game on time.
No, you're not. Now, come on. Now, Tyler, what we're not going to do here on the drive is just have bold face lines.
I'm kidding. Listen, we show up fashionably late.
It can happen.
Jesus could come at 12 noon. Oh, shut up. Jesus and beer specials could hit at 12
in the parking lot,
and
man.
People are still going to be in there about 12:45.
By the way, so I don't know if anyone from Buffalo is listening, anyone who's in town from Buffalo. I do want to do the table. I want to do the table.
You want to jump
on Sunday?
Table?
It really depends on how early I wake up Saturday into Sunday.
I don't want to do the table.
I want to do the table. I'm probably... This might be the worst laid plans of mice and men, but I want to do a little fireball, and I want to jump through a table. I want to see what the fuss is all about.
Yeah.
Bills fans are fun.
Yeah. Someone texts, I'm good on the table. Good. I'll get in the hot tub that they get in, but I'm good on the table. Someone texts in, and this, I agree, rather how you feel about it is, I'm just afraid that CJ will throw an early interception. And
well, he's got to shake it off. And honestly, if he throws an early interception and shakes it off, won't that make you feel good too? Instead of him sulking on the sideline?
That's the part to me that it feels like to me, of all the people, by what he has shown us, he is the one who has shaking it off. He seems like he is shaking things off. Like, by his reactions, everybody else is, like, he seemed like he has moved on. Now, we'll really see Sunday when the game gets started. But there is no vibe from CJ of, like, it is in his, it may still be on his mind, but that is what has controlled his offseason.
In a way, the amount of bullying he has gotten for, one,
you calling it bullying?
Wearing shorts and a T-shirt across the street in Houston in the summer.
They turned him into Bryce. What's his name?
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Yeah,
turned him into a seventh grader.
He's 6'3", by the way. Bryce Young is smaller than me. Two, the haircut. It's gotten ridiculous, and every single bad performance, whether it's a U.S. men's soccer team player or it's what's her face putting up a layup and it not going in and she gets her own rebounds. There are a lot of people out there that are clowning him for anything. And I think it is possible that now he has been just completely desensitized to what anyone thinks of him, where maybe in the past, especially going from the 2023 season into the 2024 season, it was clear that, yeah, he cared what people were saying about him and he was starting to feel it a little bit. So now he might be just desensitized by everything. And honestly, good.
Yeah.
Good. it can't get any worse than it's been.
He is definitely, like, there's been a change. We've talked about it. He has become hardened, it looks. Like, he don't really have time in these press conferences and these interviews.
I think
Tyler did a press conference.
I'm excited.
It was 3 minutes and 2 seconds, I believe. The entirety of nine questions was
7 seconds.
Seven seconds. All right. Coming up as we continue here at Oak and Iron on a Football Friday. There's been news on Caden McDonald, and when you hear what Seth has to say, there you go, walking in here with that 95.7 The Fan shirt, baby. When you hear what Seth had to say about Caden McDonald, it may make a little bit more sense on the move that the Texans have made. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
It's a Football Friday, presented by the Low T Center on 95.7 The Fan. Live from Oak and Iron Sports Social, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Congratulations to our guy Chris. Won't say Chris's last name. I don't know if Chris is supposed to be here, but congratulations to Chris, who just took home a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. We've got giveaways that we're doing the next couple of hours. Here is another $50 gift card that you can win to Academy Sports and Outdoors. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, you can win an autographed football of Nico Collins. They need to have a big game Sunday, by the way. Nico Collins, and then a pair of tickets to the Colts and the Texans game later on in this season. And also, by the way, listen, a great opportunity right here, our great friends here at Champion and Nash HVAC and Plumbing. You can have your chance to win a free 1 year membership. A free 1 year membership, guys, to HVAC. Hell, I might need to write my name down and get into this thing. I mean, I did just buy.
Is that whiskey?
I ain't that whiskey. I did just buy me a new whole air conditioning and heat unit.
Yeah.
So I might need to fill my thing out with Champion. But they'll hook you up with a free 1 year membership. Two HVAC visits a year, 15% off all AC heating repairs. Priority booking and waived after hour fees. So all you got to do is walk up as soon as you sign and fill your name out and enter our raffle. Right next to it, our guy Mark, he's got his hand up right there. Our guy Mark Taylor, he will take care of you, and you can sign up and be eligible for that free 1 year membership. So a lot going on here. I did want to push this across, this news across, which is a bit interesting to me here. By the way, opening week coverage on 95.7 The Fan is presented by Hands Free Skechers Slip-Ins. Just step Ooh. In and go. Shout out to I hope Tony Romo didn't lose that one.
That's the first thing I think of.
Goddamn, Jim.
Ooh, I don't know what to put on my shoes, Jim.
I don't know.
Here we go. We could do 7 minutes of of Jim.
Ooh, Jim. That just slipped in him.
Oh, got him. I'm so nervous, Jim. That's my favorite one ever. I'm so excited. I'm so nervous. But But a news coming out. The Texans had to place their second-round pick defensive tackle, Caden McDonald, on IR with an ankle issue. Started out earlier this week. He was a limited practice participant. And then yesterday, he just did not practice at all. And today, a couple of hours ago, they put him on IR. So he will miss at least the first four games of the season before he returns. Now, Seth Payne, you can hear him in the morning, Payne and Pendergast every morning right here on 95.7 The Fan, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. He was on, and he had this to say, and this was before the injury report came out. This was before we found out he was placed on IR. I found this pretty interesting from Seth in his assessment and what he thought about Caden McDonald and potentially being ready for week one against the Bills.
For all the people that thought Caden McDonald was going to be a starter day one, I told people immediately, hey, pump your brakes on that. He's your fifth defensive tackle right now based on this depth chart.
Yeah.
You've got four good veteran players that are capable of being starters right now in Sheldon Rankins, Tommy Togiai, Logan Hall, and Mario Edwards Jr. So Caden McDonald is a fifth defensive tackle, and that's appropriate, I think. He's still got to keep developing.
Do you think he's active on Sunday?
I don't think he should be.
All right, he said he doesn't think he should be. Well, he is not. And he later went on to say, Paul, he thinks based off his performances that he saw in preseason that he would be a liability out there on the field right now. Obviously, I'm wondering, does that play a part in, hey, let's really get this cat ready? And yes, there's an ankle injury, but let's give him 4 weeks to continue to get himself acclimated to the NFL. The NFL offensive lineman and D-line.
It could be that. And look, there's no pressure for him to be out there. I think that's the most important thing. You're not looking at him and saying, hey, this guy's got to be out there like he's one of the Texans' offensive linemen. You know, whether last year, imagine Ariante Ursary wasn't able to go right away, getting him in the second
Rutledge
round.
Or right now.
Exactly, right. Like, you would be in a tough spot. But, no, this was a guy that you took, and while you did need some interior depth on the defensive line, it's a luxury pick. You know, you're adding the cool elements to your awesome car. Yeah. What was Pimp My Ride? You're pimping your ride.
Yeah.
A little bit. But are these things useful? Is it useful to have some of the crazy things that they would do on that TV show? Like, hey, look at this. Like, honestly, I've been
you
a
got,
lot of...
You got him as an extra part of Pimp My Ride?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like one of those parts where you're like, all right, for now. I mean, obviously, I'm expecting more from him down the road. But right now, it's like, why did you do this to my car? It's cool. Am I going to use it? I don't know. I don't think so.
So to hear you say that, then I – because usually in my head, and I just remember, and Tyler, you remember, D'Amico has said he expects second-round picks to be not just contributors, but contributors and starters. Is it a fail that he's not – that I'm just saying even – obviously we hear the ankle thing, but we're listening to Seth Payne – who has been a defensive tackle in this league and has watched this, and he said, I don't care if he was 118% healthy. He's not. Is this a fail? Like, Keelan Rutledge, they can't play. Keelan Rutledge was the first-round pick. He wasn't drafted that many spots ahead of him.
Right.
He is the best offensive lineman on the team, is what the general manager said. McDonald, like, Seth Payne is watching and like, man, he's not better than Mario Edwards Jr.
It's this simple. If Seth says that, I am concerned. I wouldn't say it's a failure, but this is concerning a little bit to say, yeah, he didn't look good out there, because you want him to have some sort of impact in year one. And okay, Keelan Rutledge seems like he's going to give you an impact.
Marlon Klein seems like
he's going to. We've heard some hints about Marlon Klein too.
But we've seen it too with Marlon Klein.
I am really curious about how much we see of him on Sunday. Really, like, that's the guy that I'm really excited about, Marlon Klein. The possibilities with Klein, because I can also just be this. I can put on a terrible German accent and be a little xenophobic.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah, kind of. It's more for bit purposes than anything.
So you don't really care as much how he performs. You just need.
I mean, if he's good though, it's exciting, right? And Jalen Noll too. I'm excited to see. But anyway, bringing it back to Caden McDonald. Yeah, if Seth says that, I'm concerned. Like, I take Seth at his word. He played the position. He knows what he's talking about there.
Now, in fairness, Seth also talks about that is one of the hardest positions if not the hardest position to move from college to the NFL, because everybody's grown ass men, and you got to deal with, like, Cade McDonald, even at Ohio State. Hell, I mean, them dudes at Hawaii he faced last year, those dudes at, hell, even the low Big Ten schools, whoever was at Minnesota or whatever, he was able to destroy a lot of those guys.
And everyone that's around you is bigger and stronger and faster than everybody, too. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for all these guys, especially coming from the big schools. But still, the build, the size, I would say I'm concerned about year one impact more than anything. Hearing Seth say that, but yeah, I'm not thinking bust already.
No, I don't think bust. Yeah, I just clearly he's like, from what Seth, who's has an expertise of the position. Someone texted him, bro has an ankle injury. Let the man heal up and get back. Well, we're not stopping him from healing up or getting back.
It was an interesting thing that Seth said this morning.
Yeah, it's very. He said it a couple of days ago, before we even knew there was an ankle injury. I think it's very I think it's very interesting right there.
Yeah.
That when you just think around him, the other guys, the first round pick who was picked at 25th, the second round pick that was also picked in the second round behind him, play physical positions, offensive line and tight end, and those guys are, it seems, squarely in position to play, and he wasn't ready. It's the truth of it. Not saying it's over, throwing the towel. It's just, so a bit
something
surprising. He wasn't ready. We got people that are talking about he's a missing piece.
Yeah,
already.
Yes. Could be worse. Could be worse. It could be the dream team that just got smoked in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe
have they gotten home yet?
Maybe Aaron Donald fixes it. Yeah. I think they had a flight right after this. So. All right, coming up, we talked about this earlier. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. I want to hear yours too, Paul. We've talked about this offense, and we should, but this defense has a chance to be special, nasty. Everyone believes that, and they should. What is an acceptable performance against what has been one of the best offenses in football the last couple of years? What's an acceptable performance from this vaunted Texans defense on Sunday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday, presented by the Low T Center on 95.7 The Fan. Live from Oak and Iron Sports Social, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, live. Football Friday. Clap it up, people, man. We're having a good time out here, man. Listen, this guy's ready to make a bad decision. I'm looking for people out here, man. Come on out here. You should be off work here. Almost 5 o'clock. If you're getting off work, come on out here to Oak and Iron here in Vintage Park, and you can slide in just in time for yourself to win some tickets. We've got three more things to give away. We've got a $50 gift card. We're going to give away a couple of things in this next break. We're going to give away a $50 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, and we're going to give away an autographed football by Nico Collins, who, by the way, needs a big game.
Wow,
we're going to give that away coming up in the next segment. So if you are trying to get here, or if you're in the building and you have not gotten your name in our raffle box, you may want to do so. And by the way, at the end, our big giveaway, a pair of tickets to see the Houston Texans host the Indianapolis Colts. You can win that coming up a little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in on this. Listen, we've talked about this offense all offseason because that's it. That's it. You talked about, Paul, the amount of people who look at the Texans as Super Bowl contenders, and not just contenders to get to the Super Bowl. I think I saw Greg Jennings have them in the AFC Championship game. I think I saw Chris Broussard have them in the AFC Championship game. Other teams. I've literally heard people say, this defense is so good. If CJ could just be okay. I heard Emmanuel Ancho get blasted drunk and say he believes Shady McCoy believes that Shedeur Sanders could take this team to the Super Bowl with this defense. That got completely away from me. Just the domination of this defense, people believe in so much.
They do. It's a long list of people.
And they should. They are loaded. They had Reed Blankenship, and they are They're, it's like a bunch of young dudes in their prime who all have grown up, who are all growing up in the same defense. They're all in their prime. Like, Aziz is the only old guy. Is Aziz 30? He may be 30. Like, that's really it in the group of the main guys that they roll with.
29 years old, so born August 4th. So he just turned 29.
Yeah, he just turned 29. But he's under 30. Will's under 30. I mean, the only old guy there is the guy who still seems like he can get 15, 17 sacks with ease in Danielle Hunter. So this is a crew that they have. But they are facing the Buffalo Bills for the third time in 3 years. And this is the same offensive coordinator, guy who runs the offense. He's now the head coach, but Joe Brady still runs the offense. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. And they have seen this. They've added DJ Moore. I mean, this is an offense. That's why what's been so impressive the last couple of years with the Texans is this is the number one rushing offense last year. This is the number two scoring offense in almost 30 a game last year. This is number four in total offense last year, third in offensive EPA. Like, this is a great offense. James Cook led the league in rushing last year, and they've got Josh Allen. They've added DJ Moore. For you, first game of the season, this opponent, what is an acceptable performance from this defense? I said anything under 23 points for me is acceptable week one out.
It is week one, so I'm a little bit more forgiving than I've been in years past this early in the season. But to me, it's don't miss tackles and don't give up the big run to James Cook like you did this past year. It's going to be tough to stop everything that Buffalo's capable of doing when you have a guy like Josh Allen who can extend plays and make things really difficult for any defense, including yours. So give him a little bit of grace, perhaps from time to time. I just don't want to see the dumb mistakes. And by the way, I mean, it's something you take for granted that even with as aggressive as this defense is, it's generally personal foul penalties that you're most concerned about versus them doing something that's just technically not sound. And, you know, Ron, I think that the games like this, these are the ones where you should feel best about the Texans defense because they're big game hunters. When you're going up against a guy like Josh Allen, it is different. And especially when you're 1.5 point dogs at home. I don't know if the line has changed since last time.
No, they're 1.5 point dogs, which is a bit disrespectful.
It is completely disrespectful that they are 1.5 point dogs at home, given what they have done to Josh Allen each of the last few times. No one has made him look more mortal than the Texans, specifically in 2024, but last year as well. So to me, I'm going to be forgiving with some things that happen. I just don't want the big plays, the missed tackles or anything, just completely blown assignments like C.J. Gardner-Johnson still out there. By the way, he's going to be on the Bills this Sunday. That's going to be interesting. I just don't want any of those things. So that's kind of a lame way to answer the question. But I feel
Do you feel like we're going to see a complete shutdown dominating performance like we've seen the last two times?
I'm so used to it.
And the Texans against the Bills?
Well, Ron, talking with somebody who knows Joe Brady inside and out and Ty Dunn, it just feels like Joe Brady is the kind of guy that just does the same things over and over again every single week. And now, especially with no Sean McDermott, I feel like that just enables him a little bit more, right? Maybe McDermott was a governor over him in the past. And okay, maybe he has a couple of extra wrinkles to throw at him, but I don't see a reason why I should look at the Buffalo Bills and be like, well, this time is the time that they're going to figure it out. Unless you're just playing the law of averages. Well, at some point, he's going to do it. It just feels like they have him as the biggest matchup nightmare for Allen that there is.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it can't happen. I'm just not I'm not sitting here willing to come out and predict that anybody is just going to run roughshod over this defense.
You'll believe it when you see it, but it's hard to imagine it.
Am I going to sit here and say nobody will ever score 30 on the Texans defense? I'm not going to say that's impossible. I'm never, ever going to go into a game willing to say, you know what, man, I think they're going to get them. I don't think that. So I don't think anybody is going to just give the Texans that kind of problems offensively. And we look out and CJ and them. I'm never going to predict that CJ and the Texans are going to have to win a shootout against somebody because I think the Texans defense will be able to, both in scheme and what adjustments D'Amico
and Blair make. I think they'll be able to figure things out. But I also don't know if I see a situation in which, they are about to completely shut these cats down. They are going to get to a situation where, it's about to be 8-9 sacks. I would think that Josh Allen and Joe Brady would make some adjustments to not just get their asses just running around and hand it to them. Although instinctually it seems like that is something that Josh does to extend plays. I would go into it thinking that there is some level of adjustments with 7 months for them to prepare, it feels like, for this game.
I mean, that's for Joe Brady to figure out. I would say it's impossible to set a higher bar for yourself against a great quarterback than what they've done against Josh Allen, too. You know?
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's unfair to expect some of the things that they've been doing. You sack a guy 8 times in a game. I mean, it's not like Allen is Bryce Young size, you know? The dude's fast and huge. And they got him 8 times. And each time they got him, I mean, it was a wallop.
Well, Will has just been...
That relentless play where he's just chasing him down like he's a villain at the end of a horror movie that can't be killed. He's Michael Myers. It was nuts.
We'll see. I think the Texans defense will be good in this game. But again, 20 to 23 points to the Buffalo Bills offense is, that's generally a good night.
Yeah.
Now, I said this earlier, watching what the Niners did to a Rams offense that was really good last year and watching what Seattle did to a Patriots offense, those two offenses, the Rams and Patriots, were 1-2 in offense last year and just absolutely got shut down by the Seahawks and 49ers. And most people believe the Texans defense is better than those. And so there you're at home and there's a thought that maybe they should match that, but to me still Josh Allen is Josh Allen, and he has so many ways that generally even if you do everything right, he can shake loose and make plays.
And also he's got in the back of his mind what he did in the last game where he played well but he turned the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sort of sick of that false equivalency I've been seeing with some people. Well, what about Josh Allen? The same people who are doing the, well, what about Drake May today stuff with C.J. Stroud? Yeah. And I'm sorry it always comes back to C.J. Stroud in a way, but Allen is going to make a couple of things happen in this game, and you're going to be like, well, give him that because he just does that. But I do have a hard time imagining the Bills finally figuring this out. D.J. Moore, sorry, that doesn't change things for me. Khalil Shakir, I like him, but not against Derek Stingley or Kamari Lassiter. Is Dalton Kincaid finally what everyone thought he could be this year? Maybe. James Cook scares me more than anything that Josh Allen's throwing to.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty good about this matchup.
Yeah, James Cook has been the one that's had success in these two matchups. All right, coming up, Tyler, we have fought this, and now it's here. Yordan Alvarez is not in the lineup today.
Gasp. No,
and it is not God. Because of a rest day.
Oh, no, my Lanta.
It's not because of a rest day.
The season's over.
We'll let you know the latest on what's happening with Yordan Alvarez as Joe Espada spoke to the media today, but he is out of the lineup. We'll let you know and get you ready for this matchup against the Rays. Give you the injury report and the latest with Caden McDonald for the Texans. And quarterback situation is a disaster in Atlanta. We'll have all that for you coming up right here live on The Drive.